Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another edition of Warrior Connection. Tonight's show is dedicated to the memory of Staff Sergeant Paul Lyons, a proud member of the 101st Airborne, who was co-host of this radio show. Paul Lyons, after he was abandoned by the military and the VA, committed suicide back on March 15th after reaching out for help and not getting the help from the people he trusted and the people that are responsible. Well, this evening, let's talk about all these problems, and our guest tonight with Denise and I is Tammy, Paul's widow. Denise, welcome to the show. Tammy, welcome to Warrior Connection.
Thank you.
Okay.
Denise, you got anything you want to open up with?
Yeah, we're going to cover some things toward the end, and I'm going to keep track of the time so we allow Tammy as much time to share with us her experience. I'm glad Tammy is sharing with us because others have gone through this. It needs to be talked about of what went on, how things could have been better, the problems. And so, Tammy, we are so glad you're speaking out. It's only been 6 months since Paul's death, and we hope to give others guidance and help through each of our experiences. So I want you to, you know, kind of start talking about what happened, and you kind of made notes from last night when we talked about what you wanted to cover. So we really want to pay honor to him and to you for being able to speak up even 6 months since his death. His birthday is coming up on, what, the 23rd, I think? So we're doing this in honor of him. And you've stepped up to the plate, which is just so hard to do. So, Tammy, tell us about, you know, start talking, and we'll kind of guide you through it as you talk.
Okay. Well, first, I just want to say that Paul and I were married for 14 years. We had known each other ever since we were, you know, real young kids. We kind of grew up together. Our parents, you know, knew each other, and that's how, you know, we came to know each other.
Tammy, I want to say that Doug and I rescued Paul 15 years ago, and I remember Paul telling me that he had met his high school sweetheart and how you came back into his life, and it picked him up. He loved you. He was excited with each child that came along, and he has two with you. And so I just wanted to mention that Paul had, you know, told me when he met you again and getting back acquainted with you and then when y'all got married. So we'll continue from there.
Okay. It had always been a struggle, you know, from the time that we were together. I'll start from the time that, you know, Ethan was born, and we were still living in Clarksville, Tennessee. And he was still seeing a doctor in Nashville, Tennessee. We would make the drive. It was like he would have appointments every 2 weeks, and I would go with him. And it was so hard trying to get the right, responses from people. And at the time, he was doing the the local meetings, and it was starting to gain, you know, notice, and Then we moved to, right after Ethan was born, we moved to Indianapolis, Indiana, where my mom and dad, where my parents were getting on up in age, and they were getting kind of ill. And we were basically, that was when we were starting our, you know, lives together. It was a struggle from then, trying to, I guess with him, and his health,
So you both had family members, parents that were sick. You had a new baby.
Yes.
And your baby had health problems, correct?
Yes. My son, he had Asperger's and just a mild form of autism. He was born breached. And he also, he couldn't hear when he was born. He was born, I guess you might say he was born deaf. When he was 4 years old, that's when, took him to finally got to see a specialist. He had been to see so many doctors and they couldn't quite diagnosed, or they couldn't, you know, understand what was going on until went to this one specialist, took him into the clinic, and they immediately recognized that he had Asperger's, and they ran tests and tests on him and determined that he couldn't hear. Through the following years, I think it was about 4 or 5 years, he had about 4 sets of ear tubes each year. You know, he would have to see a ear, nose, and throat specialist, and so. But he had every form of Asperger's, and we had in-home therapy for each on a daily basis up to the time he was 6 years old.
Okay.
And then at that time, my mom had already passed on, and then my dad, you know, when he passed on, and then in 2009, we moved here to Henderson, Arkansas. And
that was to be closer to his parents that were elderly and had health problems.
Yes, his mom. His dad didn't live too long after, you know, we moved here. It was about a year or two, and then his dad passed on. And then just last year, his mother passed away. It had been, but the health care here was, it was worse because in Indianapolis, we lived right near a VA hospital. I mean, within minutes. We moved here, it's like the closest town is Mountain Home, Arkansas. Right. And that's about 12 miles away, so about 20, 25 minutes. And that is a small clinic. His health care and attention, you know, given to it was diminishing because they just didn't devote enough to the military vets. in this area and the surrounding areas. And the closest hospital, VA hospital, is in Little Rock, Arkansas. And that's nearly 4 hours away. So,
okay, so you're
given...
You've gone through losing your parents, having a child that needed extra attention, and Paul moving down to Arkansas away from Clarksville or from Indiana, the VA change did not work out well.
No, not at all.
And you had another child.
Yes. Not only do I have a son, I have a daughter who, about, let's see, it's 4 years ago when she was, I think that's right, nine, she, because she'll soon be 13 on Veterans Day, she contracted a psoriasis, and not just mild, she was covered with it from head to toe, and it was devastating to her. If you can imagine a kid going to school and she's having, she starts having that. And so her doctor, would refer her out, to a, we had a PCM, doctor, and the first few doctors they referred her to, or specialists they referred to her to, they did not fully address, you know, the problem and the issues at hand. And then not just with psoriasis, along came, you know, the weight gain and then the overdevelopment from it. And for a 9-year-old girl, that's pretty devastating.
Right.
And Paul pretty much knew that what was happening to her was stemming from him, and he was getting, it upset him. It really upset him just as much as it did me.
He kept
after the doctor and said, look, she said there was a dermatologist, a well-followed dermatologist in town, and finally said, look, you know, can't we, you know, get her in a referral to see him? At least try that. So we did, and she's still seeing this, specialist, but it's taken, she's on two or three different types of meds, you know, through him, and she has, stemming from that, she has experienced, all kinds of anxiety, all kinds of other, you know, problems that stem from that. But it's always been a battle, and the battles with Paul's health, you know, he kept, it was getting worse and worse and worse for him. His sleep patterns and his ability to, you know, during his waking hours and,
his mobility was affected also.
Yes, it went down. It greatly deteriorated. He felt weak all the time. Then he developed neuropathy in his feet and ankles.
Right.
And
when Paul was developing this, knowing him and what was happening to all of us, and he was so careful and knowing, watching, helping so many people across the nation, that, I mean, a warrior out of 101st Airborne, and him and I talked about it, where the lack of ability to run and jump and leap and go over tall buildings in a single bound all collapsed, and it was tearing Paul apart, because not only was he affected, but all the people he was trying to help all across the nation and his own kids, it just ripped him to shreds all the time.
Yes.
In case people don't know, Paul was one of our original Gulf War vets that got involved, did Freedom of Information releases, getting documentation on the 101st. I tried to share that. He also went through Fort Campbell and tried to grab records before they were taken away by the Office of Special Investigation. And so he was desperately trying and continuing to get information even on the OIF and OES veterans, getting current information from when they were over in Iraq and Afghanistan. He was overwhelmed with documents and information and trying to get it out to others that could help them while struggling without adequate care from the VA. Just trying to get him into the clinic or down to the hospital became major functioning. I want everybody to know that Tammy is also a veteran. And she served, and she can tell us about that. But she has also developed problems that we're not sure. You know, we haven't had any good data collection on the spouses or on the children. And that's one thing that we need to work on. But, Tammy, back to you. Go along with your story.
Well, yes, I am a military vet. I served nearly 7 years in the United States Navy from early 92 to late 98 in San Diego, California. I served on two different commands, subtenders, Point Loma sub base, which is no longer there. And getting back to Paul and I and his health care here, you know, after we've been here for a good while, it got to the point where it was just his appointments, it was like he would try to put in through the VA in Little Rock, paperwork, submit paperwork for home health care. They would accommodate him for housing needs because he was chronically ill, and they would turn him down. He did this on two or three different attempts, and we greatly needed it, and they refused it.
Paul was 100% service connected.
Yes.
And I think your story and your family's story, I think, highlights the problems that are going on with the family. And tell us about the VA and how they responded, besides not helping get the comb care and a ramp to help him get down out of the house. What else?
Correct.
You went with him on occasion to go to the VA. Were you getting the kind of care you needed?
I tried to go with him just about on every appointment, and until as the kids were getting older, then it was like, you know, he would try to make it, you know, on his own, or he would it got to the point where if I had to be, you know, running to the school back and forth a lot, that he had at the time a friend that would come and pick him up and drive him to his appointments. You know, just so that he could make his appointments in Mountain Home. Now, there was a couple of occasions where his friend would drive him to Little Rock. and back, because it got, it just, and then if he would miss appointments because of other, you know, other things going on, representatives from Little Rock would call, you know, and just jump all over him, you know, and get mad at him because, you know, he couldn't, you know. And
there
was
it was no transportation.
And of course it was hard on him because he couldn't ride, he couldn't, you know, make, you know, I just thought their combinations were catching a shuttle, you know, in Mountain Home. That was really, it was like it was either their hours, their way, you know, and the way they do things, or, you know, he was out of luck. They didn't step up to try to accommodate, and they're still not doing it. And they won't do anything to step up to try to, you know, assist the spouses. Or in my case, the widows, there's no support in place. There's no stepping up and trying to accommodate, or especially with like all of the paperwork and everything. I had to call around and try to find someone before I was actually, you know, given the name of who the Veterans Service Officer was and how to contact her. And during that time, she was on maternity leave. And so they had to find someone from the local DAV. Otherwise, I wouldn't have, you know, been able to, you know, halfway across the beginning process of the paperwork in order prior to his funeral. And it's just been a real struggle. And it's still a struggle.
You know, what you're telling us is a glimpse into one family's life and the struggles that a family goes through with a Gulf War veteran with Gulf War illness, 100% connected, and the inadequacy of the service organizations to step up. Did you have a social worker assigned at the VA to help in any way?
None whatsoever.
You know, one of the things, and I think it might be a good time for a summary right now as we're looking, Paul had sent an email to Denise and I and several others right before the crash, and I'd like to read this right now because it kind of sums up where we're at right now in this discussion. This is in Paul's own words. I've had the privilege of co-hosting with Doug Rock and Denise Nichols and Gary Knows radio station known as Progressive Radio Network out of New York City, regarding the various exposures that occurred during Operation Desert Storm, whether they be concerned depleted uranium, biological warfare, and chemical exposures, not to mention experimental shots with records of them being given, as well as nerve agent pretreatment pills that were ordered to be taken that occurred during Operation Desert Storm. I and well over 275,000 troops are said to be on the Gulf War Registry. I've also been exposed. I have two post-Gulf War children who are also sick, including my wife. How's that for a welcome home party? The VA and DOD need to restart their children and spouse health registry and get with a program. We didn't ask for this, and I damn sure wouldn't have intentionally exposed my wife and now my sick post-Gulf War children had I known that birth defects and illnesses were transmittable. This has been a nightmare for my wife and I. Someone in the federal government needs to pick up the drop ball and get with the program. We also need new congressional hearings from somebody in Congress with the backbone and fortitude of former U.S. Senator Donald Regal. We saw the problem back in the early 1990s and held hearings, trying to get to the truth of Gulf War illness, and now we have possible OIF exposures as well. This government needs to settle this most important issue once and for all. If our current CBRN, also known as NBC gear, is faulty, then fix the problem. Now, we know there are gaps, so let's fix it. And Paul had sent that to Denise and I and several others right before the crash. And I think, Tammy, as you've related everything that's happened and how we knew and worked with Paul, the horror for what you were living through was compounded with Paul because he was living the horror as he tried to help so many people.
Yes, he was.
And that became overwhelming to him. I mean, he would be feeling lousy. I know him and I'd be talking, and he's out there working his butt off trying to help somebody else when he's so sick that he belonged in bed.
Exactly.
And one of the lessons, I hate to bring this up, but we had confronted Paul because Tammy had called me before. We had a meeting in Dallas, and we really worked hard to do an intervention in Dallas because, yes, Paul had medication from the VA, but he was also drinking, and we tried everything. I mean, we should have, could have, would have, wished, past tense, but he never got into an alcohol treatment program that VA has.
I want to add something to that also.
Okay.
Paul had come from a very, very, growing up, he'd come from a very, very seriously bad upbringing. His dad was a very, very cruel, mean, alcoholic.
His dad was also a veteran, wasn't he, Tammy?
Pardon me?
Wasn't his dad a veteran? His dad was a veteran also, right?
Yes, he was. Yes. Uh-huh.
And had alcoholism.
In fact, yes, yes. And so, stemming from all that, Paul became an alcoholic at the tender age, I think, of about 15 or 16. And it just progressed and progressed, progressed from there. And in his last 2 years, I had been at different times going to, you know, see his doctor, VA doctor, who, you know, also ran the other clinic, the regular clinic, PCM clinic, in which my kids were also seeing his, was assigned to his doctor at one point. And the kids would speak up, and I would speak up and try to talk to the doctor, and he would, supposedly was jotting things down. He was supposedly going to be contacting, you know, the VA in Little Rock. Nothing ever came of it, because I would check back with the doctor and ask, you know, of course it's a confidentiality thing, you know, but at the same time, it's like we wanted to make sure, see what was going to happen. And I expressed the need and concern of Paul being placed, you know, in detox. But the doctor would always come back at me and say, well, that's his choice. We can't make him go. But at the same time, he would never, there were the appointments that I would go to Paul to visit this doctor, and the doctor would never bring it up or never make note of it or anything.
I could just
see that there was no real caring, you know, in the treatment.
Like a team,
you know,
approach was not there. You didn't have a social worker with the team. You didn't
exactly
have the VA realizing all these factors were just like a snowball going downhill. And
his VA doctor was not even in the clinic half the time. There's a nurse practitioner that runs that clinic is for the, not just for Mountain Home, but at the surrounding areas for military vets. And it's terrible. And the waiting times for these military veterans is terrible.
Yeah, and the family care to look at the whole family situation of what's happening with our Gulf War vets. It's a huge failure. Service organizations, VA, not realizing how complex these cases are, both with their health from the Gulf War exposures plus any self-inflicted like alcoholism coming in, and not having sat down and made a plan with the vet that this is what we have to do. You need to detox. We need to get you on this path in order to help you. And it doesn't sound like anyone approached y'all as a nurse or a social worker should. I mean, the doctor's there medically, okay? But this takes a team approach. And, Doug, every time I talk to Tammy, I find more needs. And this is being multiplied by the tens of thousands.
Yeah, the multiplication, I think, is horror. And I think as I look back on this and all the discussions we've had and all the people we've worked with and looking at the veterans multiple generations, this alcoholism problem and the family problems are just predominant from the Vietnam vet forward. And with OIF, OEF, it's horrible. And all understandings and even the latest data, the child abuse and spouse abuse with OIF and OEF veterans is staggering. I mean, everybody who's dealing with this horror of war, where they're dealing with this horrible ethical moral crisis with deep in their soul, knowing it was wrong, and yet we're justifying to belong. And then everybody has gotten so sick from all the complex toxic exposures. I mean, when the toxic exposures happen, and Denise, this is how I met you, and this is how I met Paul. I mean, we have firsthand knowledge that all this stuff was going to create a medical nightmare, and it was a conscious choice to disregard it and disavow it. Just like when Paul put everything out there in Camisea and working with all the other stuff and putting that information out to everybody, I remember DOD and Kilpatrick were going ballistic. They didn't want this information talked about. They didn't want the veterans that were sick and ill and knew the truth telling the truth. And then in Paul's case, all they had to do was help him because they knew he needed help all the way to the top end, and they didn't help him.
It was just a total
abandonment because Paul's a known factor all the way up to the White House. He's not an unknown veteran.
Right, and we have to mention that Paul had been married before, had a child. That child is grown now, had significant problems that Paul tried to help with. So this is a picture of a veteran. It's not just about their claims and about getting doctors educated and informed about their condition. It's the lack of a whole team coming together and working together and taking one problem at a time. And the first one that needed to be dealt with was to detox him and to get him family, you know, support and counseling. I mean, Tammy was carrying a huge weight with two affected children, her own health being affected, much less having gone
through
the
My health is getting worse. I feel like I have symptoms right now of fibromyalgia.
Well, see, that wouldn't be surprising because Paul was so contaminated and brought back the cross-contamination. We know that happened. For you to come down with his symptoms, because all of us have got the fibromyalgia from the exposures, and there's no doubt at all. I mean, Denise and I and all of us, we've ran into people all over this nation, especially down at Fort Hood in Texas, where people got sick down there that stayed home and didn't get deployed, and now it's a living nightmare for them also. I mean, it's just all the way across. I mean, that happened to the members of my specialized team, and how many people have we run into, Denise? They've talked about that cross-contamination exposure, and now it's progressed to the spouses and the children all over creation.
I know, and, you know, we work on Facebook. I was on the line with another vet that's struggling. I haven't gotten all of his family history, but he's struggling just to get his claim through. And, you know, if people are not even getting their claim through, the financial desperation is unbelievable. That has to be fixed past tense. And, you know, working with this vet, I'm not sure that his doctors have worked him up effectively so that he can get his compensation. And, you know, it's a never-ending disaster. I mean, this is a national disaster. And I wish somebody could declare it a national disaster and bring a whole team of people to deal with this, because we have dealt and done our own 911 hotline, crisis line, from the very beginning, before they even had the hotline at the VA.
And the hotline has crashed and burned so many times where we and others and Paul had to get involved to save others, and then we couldn't save ourselves.
And so I will pledge that we will get this on the air this weekend, and we will publicize it. And I want to get word to the VA headquarters about this situation. This is just one example, you know, of one family. It's not something that the vets can deal with themselves. We need the resources to fix the claims. We need the resources to have teams come together to deal with a mirage of complexity. It is not an easy task. I mean, I did typical med-surg nursing. I taught nursing. I mean, critical care, ICU, ER, flight nursing. And some of these cases are overwhelming. You know, we reach out and try to help guide each of our veterans as we can catch them and bring up their spirits and get them in a team of veterans helping them so that we don't have another one of the 22 or more that go to suicide because they lose hope, their families disintegrate. And that's what was happening, Tammy, with your family. It was overwhelming with
yes.
stresses. And Tammy and Paul had, you know, had to separate and get the kids out of the house and a lot of factors that we probably won't go into today.
I think one
It was horrible. It was very horrible, and the loss, you know, of Paul has really affected this family. It's affected this family so bad. Today's not been a good day for me. It's been very, very bad.
I compliment you for your courage 6 months after today. Even be on the radio with us, Tammy, and I've done my best to stay in touch with
you. No, I wanted to do this because I want everybody to hear what I have to say.
And I want you to have the time. We have about 20 minutes, probably 15 by the time we get, you know, to a point that we need to stop. But I want you to say what you want to say to everybody else out there. We've kind of got the glimpse of the family dynamic going on.
Well, I would like to see more support, better health care, support in terms of the VA liaisons, representatives, each and every area where families who are going through exactly what Paul and I have gone through, to step up, start stepping up, and start, you know, doing more for and reaching out to the sick military vets and their families. I know I've got something going on right now, and it's all the signs of fibromyalgia. You know, Denise, you and I did to talk to a few times about this, and I feel myself just falling down and falling down. You know, and my kids, you know, wondering, you know, what's going on, Mom? What's going on? And I tell them, you know, and I have a doctor, but he just, you know, he's more of a pencil and paper type doctor. You know, he's not, I need better care of myself. And I know I need to be checked out for this, you know, and getting, you know, care. I need help right now my kids are getting older, and, you know, I have to be there for them. I have to be their strength.
I think that, you know, that's one of the hardest things for the vet, because as everybody's getting sick and they're collapsing, the family structure's collapsing around, they've got to still hold up and hold it all together, and they themselves need the, and Paul was perfect on this. He's putting it all out there, and he himself needed help all the time. The other part, and we've all three of us have talked about this, and I know Paul and I had talked about it, is the abandonment by those individuals who promised to help and had the responsibility to help all of us, and especially to help Paul. I mean, deliberate abandonment, or deliberate say, well, we're going to help you, we're going to get all this taken care of for you, and it just never, never happened. And that abandonment is just...
Tammy, did anybody at the VA, when you were there with Paul, did anybody sit there and say, this is the plan we're going to put together? You know, step one,
never.
Step two, never, right?
Never, never. No, it was always just, you know, just his VA doctor would just, you know, just run through as far as checking him out and everything. It was always just a paper, you know, right, you know, or, you know, putting it in the computer, and that was about it. Follow
you
up.
You know, there's two bills. There's two bills that VVA have pushed, setting up, you know, a research center for the generational effect. And we will be talking about that next week. But I think before or even during this time that we need to really impress upon the VA that it's not only research for the spouses and children and needing to get that law in place and worked on, but it's a need right now at every VA to sit down with these veterans, particularly of the Gulf War, that have been neglected for 24, 25 years now, and, you know, making a plan that includes the family and having social workers involved and, you know, getting counseling for the family, getting it provided so that it's a total concept. It's not just about looking at a person's physical needs, which we need, but the dynamics of everything that you are a perfect example of what so many families are going through. And we need an organization. It's a shame. We have Wounded Warrior program that gets advertised like crazy on the TV, sends your $19, whatever, but yet it's not open to the Gulf War veterans and the needs that we have, and no central place to call to say, these are our problems. Please, let's put a team together immediately. Let's have something within a year at each medical site, that you're going to have written plans and work toward a plan for each veteran and their family. Doug, help me out here. I mean,
we were, one of the things Paul and I were working on, and Denisha got involved in this, and this goes back to your 28 points that you did at IOM meeting, but, and I think it's another thing, and again, we brought this up in the discussion of those hours and days with the VA and central office after Paul died, is some suggestions. I mean, number one, all the pertinent documents, and Paul was a key player in this, all the pertinent documents have to be fully distributed. The VA DOD leaders must publicly admit the correlation between the toxic exposures and the adverse health effects, as already known in internal reports. Continuing medical education must be made available and completed, such as initiated in the PowerPoints we'd put together. Numerous investigative documentaries must be made available and watched to begin to comprehend and resolve the lingering problems. Medical care must be optimized and must be prompt and on time. The overt and hidden retaliation that everybody suffers is staggering. I know Paul had retaliation coming at him left and right. Thorough environmental remediation to mitigate exposures, adequate staffing within all the clinics, coordinated medical care appointments, tell the truth about the wars, the ethical and moral dimension. Report the actual casualty numbers, not reduced numbers. That's where the Griffiths report and OIF reports are coming in. The crisis line follow-ups got to go through a referral. I mean, not just you call a line and they do it and they don't follow up. Verify definitive treatment or recovery plan. crisis intervention team. I mean, that's got to be teamed by a chaplain and not a medic and not the damn cops. No police SWAT team intervention unless a chaplain makes a call. Return all the phone calls and requests for help by the end of the day, even if only a contact. But vets are calling for help, and they don't get a return phone call for a week, if at all. Thorough support system action plan, coordinated family support notification, thorough primary and secondary historical survey to determine the casual relationships. That's your post-deployment physical assessment form, the coordinated best friend coordination. I mean, all of our best friends and all of us work together know what's happening to each other. When we see something going sour, that information has to be coordinated together. And then don't give the referral back to the failed group. I mean, in Paul's case, I know what happened on the phone line, the hotline. They gave it back to Mountain Home that had failed them already, and they failed them again. I mean, God almighty. I mean, Denise, you came up with recommendations back in 1999 when we were at the Institute of Medicine meeting in Washington, D.C.
Yep, and they haven't picked up any of those. I mean, that's a silly laugh, but, you know, it's like I told the vets. We either cry, give in, have another Paul, or we get a weird sense of humor and we help each other, raise each other up. We get others involved to help them as we know they have problems. And it's a never-ending. And VA has failed to see the problem. The president, the first lady, our senators, our congressmen, you know, 24, 25 years for us, more like how long for Vietnam vets, and how many Vietnam vets had their families disintegrate and, you know, had family members that their offspring had problems. And nothing dynamic has happened to address these problems. The only help we get is, you know, some of us that go and keep pounding the doors in VA and the Hill to listen, to hear the problem, and to beg the fellow vets to try to make it to D.C. so they can tell their story, so they can speak up. And the only forum we have right now is through our elected representatives or at a hearing, or our only other advisory committee is our research advisory, and we try to tell them, you know, keep your topic to research. But they need to hear what is happening out here. And the radio program is helping us to do that. I mean, we need our media on this. You know, we had the media going crazy in the 90s, and then we were kind of forgotten after, you know, 9/11 happened, and everybody, you know, some family members, you know, that were sick had their own children old enough to serve. Here they were providing a son or a daughter, and here we go again.
I mean, there's too many of us out here. I know myself and Rollo, my son, first class Rollo Dolph, our own sons got involved in this latest go-around, and they're all affected, too. I mean, we're having multiple generations within one family now that are affected out of this nonsense that got deployed to war, and then we've got multiple generations within the families, as in your family, Tammy, where both of you got affected, and both then the kids got sick, and the abandonment is just, I just want to scream.
Yeah. We have 10 minutes, I think.
We got about 4 minutes left here, actually. Okay. I'm looking at the clock right now.
Yeah, we need to let Tammy say whatever else she needs to say, get it out.
Yeah, suggestions, recommendations. And Tammy, the last 4 minutes are yours, totally 100%.
I would like to see more involvement from the VA or liaisons out in the communities, out in the wherever, I mean, to reach out to more of the veterans, the military veterans. Since Paul's passing, it just seems like, you know, people don't care. You know, if it's not a money trail, and if it's nothing to their benefit, they won't step up and they won't help you. And that's, if it hadn't been for me hiring, you know, a good attorney, to make sure that, you know, I kept my homestead, which I'm now, thank God, I'm now the head of my estate, and getting things done. But it's the getting, you know, help to do anything, because I'm not able to do. I live on just under 40 acres of property, and to have that taken care of, it's costed me averaging around every 2 weeks $300 just to have a couple of people, you know, that use the industrial equipment to help maintain it. And
Emmy, you bring up a good thing.
It's a struggle. It's a struggle every day.
You had to have a lawyer help you in filing.
Yes,
for
I had to pay her quite a bit of money. Just, you know.
And all the paperwork that has to be sent off to the VA, to Social Security. Tammy has a situation in Arkansas that their property taxes should have been excluded by their own state laws. And they've been bugging her to pay the property taxes.
The county assessor's office. It's for their gain. They don't care, and they ignore certain laws that are in place. They're still doing it even to this day. They're expecting, you know, even on the backs of, you know, like for example, Paul. You know, they wouldn't, even though he had the paperwork and everything, every single time I'd go with him, accompany him to the assessor's office, and he'd stand there, and he would show them. There was one occasion where, you know, they actually contacted the VA office in Little Rock, and apparently it was just, you know, it didn't get faxed correctly, or they didn't have certain this, and they were just nitpicking him to death, and he still had to pay it every single year back taxes.
And we want to compliment even getting his uniform in order for his funeral. Tammy had to reach out and find a current service member to help her to get his award.
But I have to say, this staff sergeant out of North Little Rock, top notch. He took care of everything.
But there is no.
But I was lucky to have been able to contact him.
There's luck. No person to help the widows or widowers to coordinate all this stuff. There's no organization to do that. I think that service organizations try.
But we're out of time, Paul. And as Paul's memory, it's all important. We have to keep going. Tammy, God bless you. Denise, thank you. And ladies and gentlemen,
thank you so much.
A lesson to learn. Good evening.